To Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in beautiful, sunny Clearwater, Florida.
And finally back to warm Clearwater, Florida.
Warm, sunny, beautiful, ready for you spring breakers. I tell you what, it is gorgeous out there today, Nan. I mean gorgeous. I would love to be out of my kayak, but I'd love to be right here, too.
It's gorgeous, and I'm a spring breaker this week.
That's right. Yeah, because you work for the school system.
Yes,
you're
indeed.
Out of school.
Yes, I am.
This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and Nan Watson. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a great show, because we had one of those barn-burning church services this morning, didn't we, PJ?
Yes, we did.
I tell you what, if they get any better, I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, we'll be raptured before the rapture if this keeps up.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the Spirit of God is moving. It doesn't matter how many are there or not there, God is just moving mightily.
And the way that God moves is so interesting, because like last Sunday, it was all about prophetic words and having people come up for prayer. I mean, you know, that's the way the Spirit moved then. This week, it was totally different. You know, we had, like me, God gave me a song for myself in
yes.
the Spirit. And it was just a different flow, but the anointing, it's the same God, so it's the same anointing, but it just manifested in such a different way this morning.
It so did, and as we go through this show today, we will be sharing some of that with you, what God was doing in the service that happened live at 10:30 this morning at Beacon of Hope. Even though you happen to be late today with the time change there, Nan.
It didn't have anything to do with the time change, Pastor.
In theory, Nan should have been an hour early.
Right, in theory. But in reality, she was an hour late.
I was almost late because of the time change.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I did. We were at the flea market, and I thought I still had like an hour to get ready and change
right.
and all that.
And then realized,
I need to leave right now.
Right. It was crazy. I always dreaded the spring time change because it always kind of screws everything up.
Well, like you lose an hour of sleep and then,
right.
you know, you gain it back in the fall. But by then you've readjusted.
Right. You've readjusted.
Well,
so.
Well now to save face here, let's explain exactly what happened with me.
Nan, we want you to save face, of course. That's our goal.
That's our goal. I was in a very deep, deep dream, I think is what happened. Literally shut my alarm off and don't even recall doing that. And
right.
if it wasn't for the encouragement and love of four people from church, I might have still been sleeping. But all of a sudden, I started getting these text messages and my phone woke me up.
Right.
So that was pretty cool.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, wow.
We encouraged everybody to start texting.
I started getting them, too. It was pretty. And then it's like they were all just, when I walked in, it was kind of funny.
It's right.
Like,
you're
all
was.
Excited.
You know, that's exactly right. Praise God you're here, and it's a great day, and we're excited about this show, and this is going to be a life changer, Pastor Jim. Mm-hmm. This today's show is going to be one of the most important shows we've done in a long time, and I keep saying people need to go back and listen to some of these recently, because the Spirit of God, I mean, Cedric, our engineer, and I talk about it after the show a couple weeks ago, just how good. Right, Cedric? I mean, what is God doing here? It's just amazing.
You mean within the show? Sorry, I was...
Yes, within the show. It's just like the power of God. It's just the anointing of God. It's strong. God is ministering to a lot of people.
I've noticed that everything works out, especially lately with the show. Everything
yes.
just kind of falls into place.
It does. And that's what God's doing, you know? It's just... So, you know, we're glad for our listeners, and we're glad that you are such a wonderful engineer. And Nan and Jim here today, well, it's going to be a good one. So Amen. It's life-changing. And we're in a series that we started a couple weeks ago called The Living Jesus. And maybe that's part of what's happening, Pastor Jim, because Jesus is coming alive in our services in a deeper way, in our radio shows mm-hmm. in a deeper way. It's the living Jesus.
Right.
Well, it's so cool that, you know, that's happening in our services on the radio show, but then individually.
Yes.
The living Jesus. You
yes.
know, and
working.
You know, working, and it's just moving in our lives
right.
individually. And that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We have the internet up. We have our brand new Beacon of Hope website that was just finished about 3 weeks ago. And if you have not visited that website, our new one, you got to go there.
It's
is it just cool?
It is. It is a great.
It is.
The update was so professional. And I mean, it's just. I think it's easier to navigate because all the navigation stuff is at the very bottom of the page.
Exactly.
You just click on what you want to do.
We have about 15 pages
and it's
there or
fun.
More.
There's some fun stuff on that website.
There really is. Some really good stuff. You got to go. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. www.BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. I think it was about 3-4 weeks ago that I went to Georgia and spent 4 days mm-hmm. with Carol Maxine. Maxine is our webmaster. And who did the entire revamp, but we had like 30 templates we were going to pick from. And, this one was the third that we looked at. And we both looked at each other like, this is it. We knew this was it. And from that point on, it took like just 10 minutes to figure out the template and then go from there. And it was just, it's just great. So I'm excited about that. All listening audience, please go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com and study it all. We got a lot of good stuff on there. The photo gallery, Nan is working on that right now to update with hundreds of more pictures here in the next couple weeks. It's got 127 pictures on there right now, but we had thousands to pick
we
from,
have
didn't
thousands
we?
To go from.
So we've got quite a few new ones coming up. So keep checking it out. The other thing is our email address for right here, Pastor Jim. You've got the internet right in front of you. And the address, if you want to call in and comment, has been changed to make it easier. It's pastor@bohmglobal.com. BOHM is, of course, the abbreviation or the initials of Beacon of Hope Ministries. So it's easy to remember, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Prayer requests go to prayers@bohmglobal.com. So that we're just doing that. It's going to be a lot easier. So please get a hold of us. If you want to contact us today during the show, you can do that. Actually, we have two email addresses. Both of them will work now. pastor@bohmglobal.com or pastor@bohmradio.com.
Oh, cool.
That one works too. So we can use it. Either one. All right, we got a great show. This first song is just going to bless your socks off. Matthew West song, The Healing Has Begun.
You have carried the weight of your secret for way too long, thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. But freedom can never be found behind those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun. Shame. Child, lift up your eyes, 'cause mercy remembers your name. And those tears you've been holding back, let them fall like rain. 'Cause today's the day. Yeah, today's the day. Oh, the heat. hold to their guilt, thinking they fell too far. So don't be afraid to show them your beautiful scars, 'cause they're the proof. Yeah, you're the proof. Oh, the healing has begun.
God, the healing has begun. The healing has begun. Oh, mercy remembers your name. I love this. Pastor Jim, do you start to comment?
Well, you know, there's so many great lines in that song, and it's just,
oh,
that's what began to happen this morning.
Yes, that's
and,
exactly,
you know,
right.
That there's that one line that just stuck out to me in the song about, show them your beautiful scars.
Right.
And that's so true. I mean, we think,
exactly.
And I see that on two levels. Of course, Jesus still carries
scars.
His own scars.
Right.
From the crucifixion. But we also have our scars. And mm-hmm. But it shows that the healing,
yes.
There was a healing that took place.
Right.
You know, there may be a scar, but it's a beautiful scar because
right.
God did the surgery.
Exactly.
You know, God made the incision and did whatever needed to be done in our lives. And that's why it's a beautiful scar. And we can, you know, we can show that to other people.
Amen. And we comfort others with a comfort where we've been comforted.
Exactly.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are
right.
called according to his purpose. Some of you out there today have some scars, and we're going to talk about God's healing. Go with us to John chapter 5, and we are going to talk about the man that's paralyzed, that's sitting on the porch. There's five porches in John 5, chapter 1, and this is all at the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, and there was a pool there, and in Hebrew it was called Bethesda. And that's a very common name, Bethesda, Maryland, Bethesda Naval Hospital. Bethesda means house of mercy, house of mercy. So I find it cool when that first song said, mercy remembers your name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this is where all the invalids, all those, it says in the Message Bible here, hundreds of sick people in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, blind, crippled, and paralyzed people all hung out there. Pastor Jim, give us a little historical thing there about what was going on at this. This is one of 12 gates of Jerusalem.
Right. And there was a pool there with like five porches. So I don't, you know, so it had to be rather large. Otherwise, it couldn't fit the crowds of the
hundreds
the sick
of people
that
right.
sat around there. In the longer versions of this story, an angel, it's reported that an angel would come down and stir the waters.
Every day, just once a day.
No, just once every so often.
Oh, just
once every so often. Just from here, it says, you kind of get the idea. It didn't happen on a regular basis
right.
or like they'd all be waiting on the edge
right.
to jump in.
Right.
But nobody knew when the angel was going to come down and stir up the waters.
Okay.
But the first person in got healed.
Right.
And, you know, that's. So, you know, here's this man that's been there for 38 years,
mm-hmm.
apparently very...
38 years.
Apparently very lame, with nobody to help.
Right.
No family, no nothing. And it's funny, my commentary here says, apparently there were no social service agencies to help him to get into
right.
the water.
Exactly.
And so he just had to wait.
Right.
And... can you imagine being lame and you can, I'm thinking being lame, he probably kind of got pushed to the back anyway,
mm-hmm.
because people are going to be able to crowd around him.
Right.
And you know how when things get crowded, things just, you tend to get pushed back.
Right.
So he may have even by this time been on the fringes of
right.
these hundreds of people and just begging, you know, despondent.
Right.
I'm never going to get there. I'm I'm never going to get healed. I'm never going to get my healing because I'm never going to be able to get to that pool.
Interesting point you just made. He didn't stand out in any particular way, did he? Mm-hmm. He was just one of the masses. I think that's a good point because so often we think the only ones that get healed are the ones that scream the loudest or they go to a crusade and they happen to be called out and picked out and they go up front and they're prayed over. This man did not, it does not appear that he stood out in any way.
No.
And he'd been there 38 years.
Yeah. The only thing we have in, it says that, and when Jesus saw him, this is verse 6, and knew that he'd been there a long time, okay? It wasn't anything that, I mean, Jesus saw him, knew he'd been there a long time, but there's a good chance he wasn't the person that had been there the longest. It's
right.
Just Jesus picked him out.
Right.
And said, would you like to get well?
In the message, it says, do you want to get well? But yours is the New Living or something,
New
right?
Living, it says, would you like to get
would
well?
Would you like to get well? Okay. And what does your King James say there, Nan, in the end of verse six,
wilt thou be made whole?
Wilt thou be made whole? Okay. So it's a choice. This man was
exactly.
given a choice. He did not, it was not just automatically healed because he had a part in this.
Right. And when you talked about this morning in church,
yeah.
I went over to Matthew, I think it's chapter 20.
That's where 20, it's also there. Yeah.
With the blind men, the two blind
right.
men, and Jesus, you know, crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Well, that's general. Have mercy on me.
Right.
Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you?
Right.
He always gives us a choice. And, you know, the blind man said, well, we want to see. And, you know, their reaction was, I thought you, because you brought it out this morning, a little bit different than this man at the pool.
Right.
The blind man said, we want to see, Lord.
Specific.
They were specific. They said, we want to see. This guy at the pool...
Mm-hmm.
tended to throw up a roadblock. I've got no one to put me in the pool.
Right.
Sure, I want to get well, but there's not a single person to toss me in that pool when the
right.
angel comes down.
So almost like he was defending the fact that he was still paralyzed mm-hmm. and crippled, that nobody had helped him out, putting the blame on somebody.
Right. I would really like to be there because I'd love to hear the tone of voice he said it in.
I know.
Because it could have been... He said, I can't, sir. I can't. I mean, it could have been, yeah, I'd like to, but I can't because I've got nobody, just a matter of fact, got nobody to put me in there.
Right.
But you have to wonder if he just didn't whine about it a little
right.
bit.
I've exactly.
got nobody to put me in there.
Exactly.
Someone else gets there ahead of me.
Everybody always gets it. So Jesus doesn't even respond to that whining.
No.
He just says, okay, get up. Get up. Get up and take your bedroll and start walking. I love the fact that this man had some responsibility. He could have continued to lay there and just say, well, you know, I can't walk. Don't you know I can't walk? Can't you see I can't walk?
Yeah. I mean, so often we think God's going to do it all.
Right.
And, of course, he does in
right.
one sense. But there's usually, when we get healed or when something miraculous happens, there's oftentimes our part that we have to do.
Personal responsibility.
The 10 lepers.
Yeah.
When Jesus healed those 10 lepers, it says, as they went,
right.
they were healed.
Right.
He told them to go. He told the 10 lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. Well, they walked away, still covered in leprosy.
Right.
But as they went, they were healed.
Right. They had to take that step of faith.
Right. They had to take the step of faith. And as they went, they were healed. You know, there's so many examples where Jesus, you know, said, well, get up.
Mm-hmm.
The lame man that they let down through Peter's roof.
Exactly, right.
Jesus said, get up.
Get up.
The blind man in John chapter 9, go wash in the pool of Siloam.
Right. Action. There was things that they had to do.
I mean, Jesus made that spittle stuff. That mud
right.
put in his eye. I mean, the guy could have just brushed it out of his eyes, and he still would have been blind. But Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so often there's things we have to do that God asks of us in order to have our healing manifested. Whatever.
But why is this? Nan, talk to us about this. Why is it that there's some responsibility put on us? I mean, why does not... You know, and I'm not saying that God does it miraculously, because he does sometimes, without people doing one darn thing. But you just gave a whole ton of examples in the New Testament of the ministry of Jesus, and he, Jesus, called on the person to take some action. You know, if you need a job out there, send out resumes. Okay? I mean, you know, you just expect people to find you. Not that they couldn't, not that God could not put the right person in your path at the right time to cause there be a contact and you get a job. I'm not saying that. Go on.
Well, of course, we didn't let Nan say anything.
Nan, talk to us, Nan.
No, I'm just going
to
say, you know, we're to have faith. Yes, where our faith comes in. And like you spoke this morning also, and you have already said, personal responsibility.
Right.
You know, you just can't sit back and expect God. He can do anything.
He can do
it. It's not that he can't, but we need to buy into it.
Right.
You know, like if you have like an example of stock. You have a stock in a company.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you work hard, you make your money to buy that stock.
Right.
Sometimes people can just, maybe you have a rich family member, whatever, they just give you a bunch of stock. You sometimes appreciate more what you have, and that can relate to all kinds of things. You appreciate more of what you have when you had to do a little something to get it.
They're very good. Okay.
And it flashed in my head, faith without works is
right.
Dead.
Right. Exactly.
We need to believe because God ultimately does everything.
Right.
But sometimes he's going to require something of us. Yeah, God wants to bless us financially, but if we haven't learned the responsibility of budgeting,
right,
he might withhold a little bit of blessing.
Right.
Only because we can't handle it yet. We have to learn that responsibility. Well, and I love what he says to this guy a little bit later. I don't want to jump ahead, but he says, you're healed. Don't go out. Don't keep sinning.
Right.
That would be like, okay, God, let's say, heals me of a heart condition. He takes away he lowers my cholesterol miraculously. And then that does not give me the license then to go out and eat all the butter I want.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to end up in the same mess.
Right. So there's personal responsibility.
Exactly.
But as we take personal responsibility, it shows that we have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if this man laid there and Jesus said, get up, pick up your bedroll and walk, and the man sat there and whined instead, you know, but I can't walk. Don't you know I can't walk? I'm paralyzed.
It's a matter of obedience.
Exactly.
You know, James writes, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. They'll
right.
anoint him with oil. Well, if you're sick, don't lay there on your sick bed and whine. Call the elders. We'll come over and anoint you with oil. You know, we'll pray over you in the name of the Lord, and you'll be saved. You'll be raised
Absolutely.
Up. You know, that's kind of that, you know, that's part of it. People sometimes tend to want to wallow in their sickness, in their depression, in their woundedness.
Absolutely.
Whatever the woundedness is. And yet Jesus is
resentments,
the healer.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen that on the prayer line this week. We've
right.
had healings this week.
Oh, this week.
Miracle
yeah.
praise, you know,
yes.
big praise reports.
Yes.
Blood clot vanishing.
Right.
You know?
Life-threatening
blood clot.
Up against a carotid artery. And I met that guy, Carol's cousin, a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. He's a sweetheart. He does a radio show on Sunday every morning.
Oh, wow.
That little town in Georgia. And he's just fun as all get out. And he had this serious surgery this week. And that blood clot was up against his carotid. But that night that we prayed, you sent out the prayer request. That very night, it
disappeared.
Moved.
Yeah.
It moved away from there. Okay, so Nan, there are people out there listening right now that are saying, well, sometimes I feel like complaining. I feel like letting God know how bad I am or letting everybody know how bad I am. There's got to be a balance there with what comes out of our mouth. Don't you think? We've been doing these shows in the last few weeks about what comes out of our mouth. It's very serious stuff.
No, I think it's one thing just to kind of talk to God and say, you know, I'm really tired of this. Help me.
Yeah.
And then calling people that you love and say, you Christian brothers and sisters, and, you know, please help me.
Right.
Pray for me. I mean, help me, but please pray for me.
Right.
You know, I think sometimes some people turn their prayer request into woe is me kind
right.
of situation.
Oh, sure.
You know, like you've already said, you know, just wanting to get the attention.
Right.
You know, there's a difference in my sharing with you something that's happening with me and Pastor, I need prayer with this versus me doing it in such a way that I'm really not wanting your prayer to begin with. And I think sometimes people act like they want prayer, but they really don't want a prayer. I mean, I'm
seriously,
thinking,
people seriously, do that, Nan?
People do that.
Come some on. Of them,
they would rather lay around in their depression than get up and be productive and do something.
Exactly.
It's more, maybe sometimes they, this is what they know, so they don't want to let it go, really. You know, they don't want to let it go because that's how they've lived for X amount of months or years. That's how they function with that. It's become their Ooh. Friend. And it's not a true friend, but it's become a little a friend, something you always have there.
All right, let me throw this out of both of you. Is worry a sin?
Yes.
Yes.
Is self-pity a sin?
Yes.
Hmm. All right. So we can... all right.
Ding,
so,
ding, we got the right answer.
Yeah, you got the right answer. So
we can sit in the head of the class now.
Oh, yes. Teacher's pet.
We can get so bogged down in our issue, feeling sorry for ourselves, being overly woe is me type thing, and getting attention from it, that it's very hard to receive our healing, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's sin.
Yes.
And we're going, that goes down to this other point here we're going to get to in a minute.
Right.
About it's, sin. Okay?
We have to be...
Sin's missing the mark.
Right. We have to believe that God is, first of all, is able to do it.
Right.
Willing to do it and wants to do it for us.
Then ready, we have, willing, and able?
Yeah, basically.
We talk about that in real estate. I got a buyer who is ready, willing, and able, you know?
And then we just have, then we accept it and we obediently do whatever we need to do.
Right, right.
You know, we walk in obedience to whatever God tells us to do at that point. But, you know, it can be hard. I mean, like, just yesterday, I told you, the heating element on our dryer went out. I'm not going to panic. I mean, yeah, I know we're going to have to replace the washer and the dryer. Praise God. You know, there's a certain agency or a certain company right around the corner from us that appears to have some pretty decent deals. But, I mean, I could have gotten all, couldn't I got to go to that center of that
right.
mobile home park and do all the laundry, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think of that in the Amplified Bible where it talks about being carefree. I don't
right.
have, I don't have a care. It doesn't mean I'm careless, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean like I don't care.
Yes.
It just means I'm not making this a matter for worry.
Right.
I place it in God's hands. God will get it done,
right.
and I'm not going to worry about it.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I think it's very interesting here that Jesus asks him, "Do you want to get well?"
Mm-hmm.
Because he really gives us the choice. We can just stay. Listeners out there, you can stay blind, crippled, or paralyzed, the BCP problem. You can stay that way as long as you want to, or you can rise up. You say, Pastor, that's really strong stuff. You're saying, yeah, but I'll tell you what, it's the truth. And I'll tell you, you can rise up and say, I no longer want to be blind. I no longer want to be crippled emotionally or paralyzed. A few weeks ago, I realized I was really having some back issues again that I've been healed of. Okay, but I was having a lot of problems with my left leg and my sciatica in that hip, and just pain. I mean, you know, like a bad toothache, you know, that just goes down your hip and down your leg and affects your foot and get up out of a chair, and I was limping, and I thought, this is ridiculous, you know, and it began to occur to me, I have been away from the gym for about a year. Okay, and I can give you all kinds of excuses why I have, most of them being I just was lazy and didn't get there, you know? But when I started back a couple weeks ago, I am 93% better than I was, or 94%. Occasional twinge of pain, mm-hmm. but nothing like I was. And really, the devil had convinced me that I wouldn't even be able to walk on the treadmill again because of this was so bad. You know, I was in so much pain. I'm walking fine. I'm doing better than I ever have as far as long time and incline and everything, and I'm feeling better. But it took me saying, wait a minute. No, I believe by faith I am going to be able to get out of this bad pain cycle I was in. And so it takes our involvement sometimes. Not that God couldn't have just zapped it and touched it, but he wanted me for my health to get over there and do something different than what
right.
I was doing. And
right.
talk to me, Nan, who's going back to the gym
this week. I was
going to
say, I'm good. I'm getting ready to go back to the gym. I even walked in it the other day. Checked it out.
Oh, you walked in it?
they asked me, did I want to go ahead and make my inactive membership active? And I said, nope, I'll do it when I walk in with a gym bag in my hand.
Uh-huh. But you got in the door.
I got in the door.
Okay.
Two different ones.
All right.
You know,
two doors?
Two doors. Two gyms. But I'm going to go back to that, too, and have back issues and stuff.
Right.
You know, and... You know, I have to go to one that has a pool because swimming's part of what I do and the
right.
spa is part of
that
what
helps.
I do. So
that helps.
It helps. And so I had to go to one like that. But
it took action on your part open the door.
Yeah,
to the place.
That was it. I mean, it really did because I was like, I'm like a step closer to starting back doing this because I'm at least checking out, you know, where I've always maintained a membership. They did some buyouts and things like that and went to the one. It's not as convenient as the other one would have been, but. You know, I'm having to take personal responsibility.
Oh, my. Yeah, get that bell going. Yeah.
I need to take personal responsibility and just move forward and do it. And
exactly.
do it for me. You know, we're on a kick with my insurance company, a vitality program they got going on. And I'm buying into it, taking personal responsibility for myself,
right.
Doing online classes and going to watch what I'm eating and, you know, things like that. But, you know, we have to take personal responsibility. Can I read something real fast?
You may.
I wrote a
what
poem
you just
a while ago.
Just now?
Well, yeah, just
I thought you were taking
now.
Notes.
No, that was a poem.
Read your poem.
Well, it's three verses, but it's interesting the way it came out because it's three different segments.
Okay.
I'll never get my healing. He's kind of whining in this first one. I'll never get my healing. Just what should I do? I've been here so long. How can this crowd I get through? And then he's starting to see a little bit about Jesus. He says, I see you there, Jesus. I heard you are the Holy One. Will you have mercy on me? Can you heal me? Will my miracle be done? Okay, so he's like, okay, I'm kind of seeing. And so then at the end, he's receiving his touch. He said, thank you for your healing touch. I now see you have touched me. I will lift and carry my bed of this illness. You have set me free.
All right.
Good
great
job.
Poem. So. She's a poet and does know it. And my dad always used to say he's a poet and doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Nan, that's great because that shows the progress of this man's
yes.
thinking, doesn't it?
And I think that can compare to the process of our thinking.
Okay.
And use an example, going to the gym. I first had to say, yeah, I really need to do this. You know, so I started thinking about it, the first step. Second step was walking into the place, checking the place out, walking through the locker room, you know, everything, checking out well, the sauna, everything that they had there. And now my third part of mine is going to be this week when I go in there with a gym bag.
You're going, really, with a gym bag. Woo! Okay, so when Jesus said to the man, do you want to get well? That was a legitimate question because we as human beings tend to nurse our woes.
I like that. Nurse our woes. That's pretty good.
I think it's good.
I think
and it just
good.
Came out of my mouth from the Holy Spirit. I mean, I didn't plan that. Nurse our woes. Talk to me about that. Why do we do that? And what is it when we nurse our woes?
We
baby ourselves.
And what'd you say?
We tend to baby ourselves.
I was going to say, I think part of that goes back to, do we really want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much attention do I get with having this or that? And, I mean, some people have some real serious things.
Oh, absolutely.
And of course, and they have serious things. So we're certainly not belittling any of those issues
No.
One of the ones I can so relate with is the depression. You know, that I was involved with counseling with you and Connie,
mm-hmm.
as everybody knows, so it's not a big secret. And
but we fired you after a while.
Yeah, you fired me after a long while.
After 2 years.
I needed a lot of help. But I mean, there were times that, you know, you didn't tell me what to do. That's the way your counseling is. You would help me, try to help me to see things as they were. You didn't tell me what to do, but suggestions at times maybe of what to do. And, I really wasn't doing any of that kind of stuff to try to get attention. I really wasn't. But that was the bottom line of some of what probably happened with that. It was getting attention.
Right.
You know, when I get
right.
a text from Connie, church is starting. It's like, where are you? And I was in bed.
Right.
You know, we just have to be careful how we move forward. You know,
right.
Someone who has, a heart problem or something, just, move forward, obviously, with doctors as you need to do.
Sure.
And,
we're not against doctors or medicine.
Absolutely. Get the treatment that you need. But,
absolutely.
You know. God can also perform a miracle in those situations in your lives.
Well, I find it interesting that when Jesus said to this guy, do you want to get well? The sick man said what Pastor Jim said, that he kind of gave some excuses. This is why it hasn't happened before. But then Jesus responds to that instead of, you know, nursing the woe there, PJ.
Well, yeah. And instead of, oh, I'm so sorry that you can't get in there because, you know, there's nobody to carry you there. Jesus, I mentioned this, I think, maybe last one. Jesus just cuts through all of it.
He does, doesn't he?
He just cuts through all of it and says, get up.
Get up.
Get up. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. I'm not going to hear your excuses.
Right.
You know, just get up and just do it.
I have a Thompson Chain reference, and two of the categories that it lists on the side by that verse, one of them is helplessness.
Okay.
And the other one is friendless.
Ah.
So maybe he's kind of whining, like he felt like he didn't have any friends that would
exactly.
help him out.
Exactly. And that's the excuses. Mm-hmm. There are excuses. And when we get into that self-pity, I just asked you both a minute ago if worry and self-pity were sin. Okay? And there's a reason I ask you that, because as we go down in the story, we're in John 5, if you're just joining us, we're in about verse 9. That day happened to be the Sabbath. Now, there's a red flag. Did the man pick up his bedroll and walk?
Yes, he did.
He did. Okay. So he made a quality decision. But we got a red flag here because that day happened to be the Sabbath. And the Jews stopped the healed man and said, it's the Sabbath. You can't carry your bedroll around. It's against the rules. Now, on this one, they didn't say you couldn't be healed on the Sabbath, because other times when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, they said, you can't be healed.
You can't even be healing.
Can't be healed on the Sabbath. This time, maybe they had just heard Jesus say, oh, forget it already, you know? And instead they go, you can't carry your bedroll around on the Sabbath.
Well, okay. I mean,
so ridiculous. Well, I'm just like, really?
Yeah. Well, and again, I love some of these notes in here. In the Mishnah, which is a kind of a commentary on the Jewish law, on the first five books of the Bible, they have 39 categories of things you cannot do on the Sabbath.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And one of them was carry your bedroll. But that's not, that's commentary.
So it was valid. That's one of their rules.
That's not in.
I never carry my bedroll.
I don't either.
Make my bed and leave my bed at home.
I do, too.
All right, just checking.
It's not in the Torah. It's nowhere in the law that tells you you can't carry your bedroll. It does say you can't kindle a fire on the Sabbath and don't do any work. Okay. Those are the two main restrictions. There's nothing about your bedroll. But I think in order, and we sometimes do this, in order to make sure that we're not sinning, mm-hmm. we tend to basically get into the flesh about it and end up sinning anyway, but we
right.
build these little walls, little things to keep us supposedly from sinning. And that's what this was. Okay, we're going to tell you the things you absolutely cannot do, and one of them is carry your bedroll.
Right.
Well, that's not in the Bible anywhere.
Right.
That was in the commentary, but not in the Bible. And as we all know, the Bible's inspired, commentary is not.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, but it was so ingrained, that those traditions. And I mean, we do the same things.
Right.
We all do that. We all have our little traditions about, you know, what we think God expects of us. We try and base it on scripture, but we sometimes add those little additions to it. You know,
well, didn't some of us grow up in churches that said on Sunday you can't go to a movie? On Sunday you can't wear pants? Some people did, as far as women.
Some of us grew up in a time when there were no movies to go to on a Sunday.
Right.
Remember the blue laws.
Right. Corbett.
There wasn't anything open on a Sunday.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
I can recall.
I'm going to date you.
I do my laundry at my parents' house because they have a washer and dryer there. And there's been some times that I really was in a crunch and really would have wanted to done them on Sunday instead of later in the week. But that was one of the rules that was always in my household. No washing, you know, clothes on, you know, only do something like that if your ox gets in the ditch. And it had better be a pretty darn good reason. Washing laundry is not an ox in the ditch.
You want to explain ox in the ditch for some people who are wondering what in the heck you're talking about?
I hadn't thought of that in 20 years. Pastor Jim, can you explain it better than I?
Well, I don't know. You seem to have lived this one. Well, it goes back to what Pastor was saying. When some of the Pharisees confronted Jesus about healing on the Sabbath, he said, look, if one of your oxen fell into a ditch or your donkey fell into a ditch, wouldn't you go and get it out? You wouldn't just let your animal lay there until the sun set on the Sabbath and then go get it out. You go get it out.
And, in other words, just be reasonable here, people.
Right, right. Well, and again, I mean, you know, yeah, there was all sorts of additions to that. I mean, yeah, the only two things I can find is don't do any work and don't kindle a fire. So, you know, you'd start your fire the night before and...
But Jesus intentionally healed all these people on the Sabbath. We're going to get back to this in just a minute. We got to hear this song, Bob Carlyle, Living Water, one of my favorite songs. Listen to the words. Jesus talked about living water all the time.
I feel your touch. I can feel your heart as I'm lying. Say, come to me. I long for your love like the earth longs for the rainfall. I'm weary, Lord, I've wandered this desert.
God, come living water, flow through me. This is the answer. We are studying right now the living Jesus this whole month, and he is the living water that flows in us, and we can get so entangled by legalistic rules, just like this bedroll thing. And go ahead, comment, and then Nan's got a comment about that, too.
Yeah, and I think this will be a good kind of prelude to Nan's comment. We, you know, Paul uses the phrase being under the law, and
right.
I think we've misinterpreted that, because we sometimes will throw the baby out with the bathwater with
right.
that one.
Right.
What Paul was talking about was this whole thing, these 39 injunctions against doing stuff on the Sabbath, all that. When Paul says like being under the law, it's that kind of slavish, trying to earn your salvation points sort of thing by doing all these minute observances. It's not by grace then, because you're trying to work your way into salvation.
Right.
And that's what happened here. I mean, even in the former covenant, in the old covenant, God calls it a covenant of grace. It's not a covenant of law.
Right.
It's a covenant
of grace. Right.
And, you know, all those things you were supposed to do and not do were basically the works that James talked about to show your faith.
Right.
Because you were saved, you would then do these, you know, observe all the instructions in the law. Nan.
All right, go ahead.
Earlier, and I wanted to help clarify it for our listening people, about working on Sunday.
Right.
I mean, we're by no means saying you can't work on Sunday. I mean,
right.
You know, like my father was a fireman, and they worked, he had two or three jobs, but that's the main one. And, you know, you had to work every third day, which meant every third Sunday, we didn't have our father.
Right.
You know, but he was doing what he needed to do, working a job that interfered with that particular schedule because he needed to feed his family.
And there's not a thing
wrong
with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But people get tangled up in these legalistic things and then they miss the real message behind. You know, I mean, so the religious leaders are standing out there seeing him carry his bedroll, and they go, wait a minute, you can't carry your bedroll on Sunday?
Yeah.
Neglect the fact, I mean.
Forget the fact he got healed. Okay, a great miracle just occurred. This man has been lame for 38 years. He's now walking around.
Oh, but let's forget that.
Don't carry your bedroll.
Yeah,
for heaven's sakes. Put your bedroll down. Don't carry it.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, you know, Jesus performed so many miracles in the Word, and they were all, you know, pretty very visual
right.
Of things. You know, the blind man, you already have said that, you know, putting the salve of dirt and water spit on his eyes and him being healed. So the religious leaders probably were pretty upset that yet one more person was healed under Jesus' ministry, and it was a very visible person who for 38 years... He'd been like, he was messed up, you know, he couldn't, you know.
Don't you think word spread around town like wildfire when a man that's been laying at the house of mercy, really, Bethesda, the gate there, that porch had been laying there 38 years. Don't you think that word spread like crazy? The devil would not want the word of God's healing power to spread like that.
No, definitely not.
I'm sorry, it just brought to mind, one of the devotionals I read is a messianic devotional, and they were talking earlier this week about leprosy, and how the only two people that were cured of leprosy that we know of in the Old Testament were Miriam and Naaman, the Syrian. So, like, the priests had all these, you know, rules about, you know, when you're healed, go show yourself to the priest. Well, a comment was made that, and it follows with what Nan was saying, you know, Jesus healed a lot of lepers, and he told them all, go show yourself to the priests. And the priests were so out of practice. Imagine, here's all these lepers coming to them. They've not had to do this ritual thing for cleansing.
Right.
Since Naaman the Syrian back, oh, I don't know, 900 years
right.
before Jesus, 800 years. You know, imagine this, like, they got to be scratching their heads thinking, what in the world is going on here? All these blind people are seeing. These lame people are up walking around. All these lepers are cleansed. Dead girls are getting raised.
Right.
Dead children, dead men are getting raised up.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
And how dare this man who just got healed after being crippled and lame and paralyzed for 38 years pick up his bedroll. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he told him to pick up his bedroll. It was an act of, well, it showed that he was letting go, picking up and not laying down anymore. He was going to be walking mm-hmm. and be healed, and it was an act of faith, you know. Go ahead, Nan. Did you want to say something about that?
Not really, but I can.
Go right ahead.
We need to move forward with that same act of faith in our life.
Right.
And some people might think, well, you know, this situation I have going on is really, it's not that big a deal. It's not worthy of healing. Well, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
If it is something happening that's not, you know, that is a negative situation in your body, it doesn't matter how large or small it is. Jesus is there to touch that, period. And you mm-hmm. need to have faith and believe him.
Amen. Now, Jesus says to him when he sees him in the temple, in verse 14, a little later, Jesus found this guy in the temple, and he said, I love the fact that Jesus found him, by the way. He finds us all the time. You can't run from him, people. He finds you. He's the great hound of heaven.
That's for sure.
Well, remember that old thing back in 1976, the I Found It campaign?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I always had an issue with that because it's not like I found Jesus.
He found me.
He was running after me. Right. I just happened to turn around and there he was.
There he was. Yeah. So that's what happened to this guy in the temple. And Jesus says, you look wonderful. You're well. And don't return to a sinning life or something worse might happen. So let's say his sin was complaining. Let's just say this. We don't know this for sure, but we do have a kind of a hint of it a few verses up there that he's blaming everybody else that he had not been able to get well. Okay. And Jesus says, don't return to a sinning life or something worse might happen. When we enter into a lot of verbal self-pity and mental self-pity and depression and all of this, and we go down that rabbit hole into negativity, and we don't realize it, or we realize it and we want to stay there because we're getting attention from it, that's sin. And we're going to get into a worse mess because that opens the door to the devil to have a legal right to just stomp on your head a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's strong, but...
Well, that's true. Sometimes the truth is strong.
Well, Jesus said, don't return to a sinning life.
Right.
Or something worse might happen.
Right, right. And
you might fall into that rabbit hole.
Right. And, you know, he said, you know, if you don't... Like if somebody goes through deliverance, you cast out a demon
right
from them. You know, be watchful. Do what you got to do to keep your deliverance because he'll come back with seven more.
Oh, absolutely. Come back worse. Yeah.
And it's the same thing here. You've been delivered. And possibly, I don't know, maybe this, I was thinking about this morning, maybe this guy's disability, you know, his paralysis or whatever was due to something sinful that he had done.
Could be.
Or maybe he just had crippled thinking and it manifested in his body. That's a possibility, too.
Oh, I like that. Crippled thinking that manifests in your body.
You know, maybe he just thought he was all crippled up and then he became crippled.
Crippled thinking. Let's talk about that a minute. Because Jesus points out here the blind, the crippled, and the paralyzed. So it's almost like a progression that happens in some of us. We get blind to the truth of God's word. We get blind to what Jesus says about our condition. And it begins to cripple us. We can't walk very well. It's a progression. I didn't see it until right now that it's a progression. It's because as we see a situation and we choose to look at it negatively or we choose to buy into the condemnation of the devil's shame, guilt, we choose to go down that rabbit hole. That blindness sets in. We begin to be crippled. I mean, it keeps us from walking on with God and from getting strong. And then eventually that crippledness turns into
paralysis.
As I said today, paralyzation.
Paralyzation. Well, and yeah, the New Living says blind, lame, or paralyzed. And that's so perfect because
isn't it?
Your blindness makes you lame, which means you can't walk.
Right.
But paralysis, you just sort of get the feeling that's the whole body. Your arms and legs don't move. You can't do anything. And sometimes, you know, it's because we do kind of turn a blind eye to the Word of God, what the Word of God says.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus, of course, addresses that in Mark chapter 7, but we turn a blind eye to it.
Right.
And whatever, self-pity, traditions, whatever we put in the place of God's Word, we make God's word powerless. We take away its power. And, you know, here's Jesus, the word of God, all through the book of John, comes up and says, get up, walk, carry your mat.
Exactly. Do something.
Yeah, and the word of God then was back to being alive in this man's life.
Amen.
And he got up, he started walking.
And praise God. Woo! Huh. Do you have a comment on that, Nan?
Well, I really wasn't thinking of anything.
Okay.
What was coming to my mind was during a period of time, and actually that time was before Beacon, I probably didn't go to church about 6 or 7 years because of what had happened at church. It was really bad. And, I was basically paralyzed by what was going on. I just said, I will not do that. I will not go. They hurt me too bad, and they're going to hurt me again. And it involved more than just me, and so it was really bad. But, you know, just turning it back over to God.
Right.
You know, just walking. I mean,
right on.
God led me into Beacon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had been to Beacon probably a handful of times before I really started going, and that was only just to kind of drop in and say hi. And
you get Connie off your back.
Get Connie off my back, because that was her ministry project. And, just kind of,
right.
Accommodate or whatever. I'm missing a word here. But, you can go from being paralyzed. I mean, I'm not that great or anything like that, but look at where I am now with God,
right,
and in the church, you know,
right.
And
look what God's
I just
done.
Like to encourage the people, if they're paralyzed in any way,
right,
they can move forward,
right,
and they can do something for themselves, take personal responsibility, and move forward,
amen,
and move forward in God, and they can do that because I feel that I've been able to do that,
amen. Wow, we're going on with this discussion after the break in a couple minutes, and we're going to go over to John 8. And I tell you, dear ones, God's doing something mighty in our ministry and in the lives of our people, and we pray for you right now that you would catch this vision and this mm-hmm. fire, and that you would realize that God wants to set you free from past resentments, mm-hmm. past hurts, mm. areas of unforgiveness where people have hurt you, or they've said things that you didn't like, made you feel less than or an outcast. It's time to let go, forgive them, and let's move into this new day. And we're going to move into this second hour of this show in just a minute. Station identification.
You're tuned to WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel, and KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Nan's word was for somebody.
Nan's word was for somebody. All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are in Clearwater, Florida, and we're having a great show, and stay with us here if you're just now coming on. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, what came to mind in recollecting about how I was kind of paralyzed all those years in God and not going to church. You said the forgiveness thing.
Yeah.
And
so vital. Forgiveness does not mean we agree with what somebody did. We let it go.
And to be able to forgive my pastor for what he did, that was God. But I had to take personal responsibility to do it. I had to reach a point I can do it. And I was thinking of his wife and another pastor's wife, two pastor's wives had really not been real nice to me. And I had to forgive them. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting what wound up happening. I had to forgive them. And then I forgave them and moved forward. But then God is such a trip sometimes. He led me that I had to call each one of them.
Whoa.
And I was like, you got to be kidding, God. I mean, look at what happened. Da, 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 da. And he's like, you forgave them. Now you have to call them.
Wow.
I was like, wow. So I called the one pastor's wife, and both of them were, it was very difficult to pick up the phone to call because I had been wronged. And I was just felt led, I was supposed to call just to say, hi, how are you doing? How are the kids? And I called the first one and reached her, and we had a nice conversation. And I've not talked to her since then, but at that time we had a nice conversation because that's what the Lord let me do. And I told her, I said, God told me to call you. The second pastor's wife, I could never locate. I tried, but I tried, and God knew my heart,
right?
And He knew I tried. But you know, I like to encourage anyone who's been hurt in church or anywhere, but specifically in church, because I can relate with that. Forgive,
right,
and take personal responsibility and move forward, And don't let that keep you from going to church.
Exactly.
As it did me.
And don't let it keep you out of the body where you, of believers where you belong. We have email up, and you can write us right now and get in on this discussion or comment or ask a question. Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. That's our new email address. Pastor@BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. Let's listen to this song. It's fantastic by Jesse Clark Funk. It's entitled Living Water.
The lines on her face were tired, but her eyes reflected true peace. She'd struggled for years with doubts and what she gently said to me.
I want to say, I really feel strongly there's at least one person and possibly multiple that are saying, hearing that song, it says, come to the living water. And they may say, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what's happening with me. Come to living water. That's who Jesus came for, is all of us with stuff that we've done in our lives. You know, and I just, you know, that they can find strength that way. And they really can move forward and accept and understand what we're saying today.
Absolutely. Come to living water. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, and
I got a cramp in my leg, and we're taking authority over it right now in Jesus' name. I got a Charlie horse.
Amen.
And I mean, I believe that this word is getting to some people right now. I can't even sit down right this minute, but we take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And it's getting better. It is better since you laid your hands on my leg. But go ahead, talk.
Well, and that fits right in with where we're headed, John chapter 8. You know, the woman caught in adultery, you know, some people do think, well, my sins are too much. My sins are too big. No, they're not. I mean, Jesus took every sin, every failure, every hurt, every fracture of our humanity, from Adam in the garden to the very last person that's ever going to be born.
Amen.
He took all of that on the cross. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
We got to take authority right now over shame and guilt in some of our listeners right now, because I think that that is keeping people from coming to this living water, because they're just ashamed of things in their past and they're feeling guilty and believing that they can't ever walk into the fullness of God.
I'm an addict. I'm a, you know,
whatever they're thinking.
I've committed sexual sins. I've done this. I've done that. I've used drugs. You know what?
Whatever. Or worry and resentment and bitterness. It's all sin.
The thing
is, sin is missing the mark.
Right. The thing is, Jesus calls us to turn around, to believe in Him.
Amen.
To repent and just say, okay, I'm done with it.
Right.
I'm coming to you. And, you know, whatever the issue is may not instantly go away. Sometimes it's a process.
Right.
Most of the time it's a process. You know, that's why he talks about restoring your soul.
Right.
You know, that's where the battle is, and the soul needs to be restored, and that's a process. But the thing is, take that first step. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Accept His forgiveness.
Amen.
That's the first step. Get rid of the shame.
Right.
God already knows your shame.
Right.
He already knows your guilt.
And
it doesn't matter. In 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, I'm preaching.
No, you go right ahead.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. He reconciled us to Himself.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Right.
God the Father is not mad at you anymore.
He is not mad.
He's not mad. Sometimes we still think, you know, He's up there like those depictions of the Greek god Zeus with a lightning bolt just ready to hit us in the head with it if we...
It's not, you know, the way it is at all.
That's not it.
Go ahead.
Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have come. Why did He come? Why did He come and die if, you know...
And
except to show his
love and His mercy.
And to reconcile us to God.
Mercy's when we don't get what we deserve. You know, we taught, you and I taught, taught this past Wednesday night.
Okay, Shell's listening. She's
just
email
broken.
I
know, my verbiage today. But Wednesday night we taught on John 4, the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And now John 8, the woman at the well had five husbands, and the one she was living with, Jesus said, that's not even your husband. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a woman who had all kinds of issues and problems. Yet Jesus said, you got to drink of this living water.
Right. And again, we mentioned it at the Bible study. Jesus cut through all the stuff that she was trying to throw up to Him. You know, Jesus just cut through it. And, you know, I mean, she even tried that, you know, she tried to outsmart Him theologically. Okay, that's the wrong thing to do with the Word of God. But she tried that, and Jesus still just, he cuts right to the heart of the matter. And, you know, that's what He did with her. That's really what He did here
in
with
John
this
8,
woman.
With this woman that's caught in adultery.
Absolutely. I mean,
they come, the religious leaders come in John 8, the first part of it, and they throw this woman down in front of Jesus. Here, what are we supposed to do here? What do you say? In fact, let's read it in the Message Bible in verse, I don't know, three maybe. The religion scholars and Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery. This was an intentional try to set Jesus up, and thank you for anybody that's praying. My Charlie horse has now gone.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Boy, that was awful. They led a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery, intentionally trying to corner Jesus and catch Him in a thing where He would have to make some radical statement. Go ahead.
Well, either He upholds the law
right.
and condemns her to death.
Right.
Or...
He couldn't win. This was a no-winner.
This was supposed to be a no-win situation for Him. Or if He said, no, 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 that law doesn't apply,
then they
would have just cause for condemning Jesus.
He would have gone against the law of Moses,
exactly.
And then He could have been...
We know He never did.
He never did.
He never went against the law.
He fulfilled the law of Moses.
He never went against it. And here, although the religious leaders screwed up...
Mm-hmm.
Because this should have been handled privately.
Right.
You know, this was not something you drag a woman around for.
This is unusual.
This was handled privately.
Right.
And apparently, because they're talking about her being stoned, That means she was at least engaged, if not married. So it wasn't like she was unmarried, having sex with like a married man. She, it appears that she herself was married. But there's something missing here, because under the law, both parties.
There's no man here. They didn't bring him in here.
The man and the woman. The man and the woman should have been brought forward.
Nan and I could go on a gender attack here, but we won't. Go ahead.
But we'll be nice.
Thank you, ladies.
We'll be nice. But there was preferential treatment here.
But again, that just shows what they wanted to do was trap Jesus.
Right.
Their concern, apparently, was not so much that this woman had committed adultery.
Right.
They just wanted to put Jesus in, like you said, a no-win situation. And I love what he does. He just sits there and starts, you know, well, they say in verse 4, teacher, they said to Jesus. Now how hypocritical is that anyway?
Right.
They really didn't respect his
teacher. They didn't respect him as teacher. They're doing this kind of a in-your-face type thing.
This woman was caught in the act of adultery.
Oh, my gosh.
The law of Moses says to stone her, what do you say? And, you know, it says there in verse 6, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him.
Right.
But he just stooped down and wrote in the sand. We don't know what he wrote. I know most scholars think, and I agree with him, he was probably writing down things like adultery, self-pity.
I think he was
writing down the sins of the people in the crowd.
Right.
Because his response is so amazing. Because here they put him in this no-win situation.
Right.
And he says, you're right. He doesn't deny the fact that the lady sinned.
Yeah.
He doesn't deny that at all. I mean, you know, obviously this was serious.
Right.
And he doesn't deny the fact that she sinned, but he asks them, okay, those of you who are without sin, you can cast the first stone.
The sinless one among you, go first.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's that, oh my. It reminds me of Matthew 7, where Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged.
Exactly.
And quit trying to take the plank out of your brother's eye. Take it out of your own first so you can see clear. You know, that kind of thing where maybe we'll go to that scripture in a little while, but I think it's interesting that he's writing something in the sand, and a lot of scholars do feel it was names of sins.
Different sins that these people had committed, and
right.
One by one, I like it, starting with the oldest.
Isn't that interesting?
They dropped their rocks and walked away.
The wiser, huh?
Right, and I think Jesus wasn't, he wasn't excusing what she did.
It doesn't say that at all.
You know, he was just saying, you know, okay, if you're perfect, you can be the first one. And I think sometimes we need to remember that, because I'm a good one to cast stones. If I don't stop and think, I'm a good rock thrower.
Yeah.
At least in the spiritual sense. So I know that's one thing I have to watch, because I can tend to be a little like a Pharisee, as you well know.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Oh, Nan. You should see me at my legalistic best sometime. But it was good for these men, because it made them aware, maybe I need God.
Right.
You know, sometimes we need to remember that.
I think that a lot of times when people are in church for a long time or have grown up in church and maybe have a legal, have a degree or something, theological degree or whatever the case may be, a lot of times it's easy to get somewhat pompous. And I'm not saying you're that way. I'm just saying...
I can be.
But, I mean, in general, we can tend to be critical of some that are struggling in areas of their lives when we need to be more... full of mercy.
Mercy.
Talk.
I was thinking, and by the way, my parents do not listen to this radio show, but I can remember times looking back. Now, you know, I was raised in a good Christian home, and we did everything like we were supposed to do. But I can remember leaving church, and then there would be discussions about Sister So-and-so wore such and such. And I'm, you know, and as a small child and into teenage years, you know, I thought, as I got older, what is wrong with this picture? I mean, we're going to church. We're singing our songs. We're listening to the sermon. We go to the altar and pray at times. Then we
tell people we love them.
We love them. I love you so much. And then it's like the next thing you know, it's when my mother recently started. But my mother would say, you know, did you see about Sister Soda? You know, and it's almost like a gossip session, you know.
Right.
And that's wrong.
It's totally wrong. But
this
we all have engaged in it.
Yes, we
and
have.
When we know that we have, we need to repent and we need to stop it.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Megan just wrote something in what she said.
Megan from our home state of Indiana.
Right. And one of our radio contributors,
amen,
who will be on the radio next Sunday.
Wrote in a little email. People need to lay the pride of their past behind them.
Oh.
And make the decision to walk into the living water. Let the Lord heal you and cleanse you.
Amen.
I like that, Megan. The pride of their past, like Paul. Sometimes we talked
it's
about
a
the
good
shame,
point.
But there can also be pride. I'm too proud to come to God.
Right. I've not done anything. I'm a scholar. I'm this. I'm that. That's what these guys were, religious leaders.
And they needed to lay down the pride of their past.
Ooh, yeah.
And come to God. And, you know, they finally all walked away, and Jesus, you know, where are your accusers?
Where are they?
And, you know, did any of them condemn you? Did any of them throw a stone? She said, no. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more.
And again, he says the same thing to her that he said to the man in John 5, go and sin no more. And the reason being that when we get off into sin, it opens the doors for worse things. It's
right.
What it does. It's a door opener. We are going to play a song here in a minute that we ended up playing, twice at church this morning?
Twice? Three times?
Three times?
Well, we played it
three or four times, yeah. Jesus,
before
Friend of Sinners, by Casting Crowns. In a minute, we're going to play it for you. But it so fits this show today because Jesus says he is the friend of every one of us. He is our good shepherd. He loves us. He cares about us. No matter if we are messed up in some area, no matter if we're full of resentment today or we've got unforgiveness, you pointed out this morning about forgiving Paul. Go back to that with Peter and Peter asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody?
Right, yeah. And Jesus had just taught them about, all the disciples, about church, like church discipline, what to do if somebody sins against you. And I'm sure Peter thought he was being incredibly generous by saying, oh, how many times should I forgive them, Lord? Seven?
Right. Seven seems to be a good number.
Seven times in a day, is that enough? You know, that's the perfect number. And Jesus, you know, I'm sure I can just pick, I've always pictured Peter going,
rather arrogantly?
Kind of, seven times? How about that, Lord? That's a whole lot. Look at me. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
And Jesus goes, no, 70 times seven. And as you brought out this morning, per person per day.
Per person per day. That's what the original Greek meant.
490 times per person per day.
Has anybody offended you 490 times in one day, Nanner?
No, thank goodness.
But if they did, you would have to forgive them.
The
word
says I would have to forgive them.
Per person per
day. Don't
look
at me like that. Pastor Jim.
No, we mean nothing by that, Nan. But if God's dealing with you about somebody, then please, by all means, make amends.
I was thinking, you know, the way I answered that, I said, that's what the word tells me to do. And
right.
I think that many times, probably most of the time, it's difficult to forgive people who have wronged us.
Of course it is.
You know?
Of course it really is.
You know?
We get our feelings hurt.
Right.
And we think, I'll just stay away from them. You know, but that doesn't solve the problem.
No. Right.
Okay?
Yet unforgiveness. So what? It's so important to be able to forgive, because what that unforgiveness just begins to grow and fester within.
Oh, it grows.
You know,
it's
like a little wildfire going on inside you.
Or like some vegetables that I've forgotten that happened to end up in the bottom of my refrigerator, and then when I find them a few weeks later, and they're growing penicillin.
Well, you were a biology teacher. Does that work?
Was a biology teacher, but the thing is, that's like unforgiveness in our hearts, because we leave it there. It's dark down in the bottom of the refrigerator. Forget all about it.
Well, and unforgiveness itself, Jesus says over and over and over, if you don't forgive your brother and sister, your father's not going to forgive you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we watch a lot of crime shows, and I understand. I'd be very, very angry. But it always breaks my heart when somebody says, I can't forgive the offender. Please, please do. Because, and it's not, it's not
it's
saying that you, it's never saying that you agree with what they did.
Right.
Because how could you agree with somebody hurting a family member, killing or raping or whatever? No, we're not saying you have to agree that that's okay. You're just saying, I can't make it right. I'm going to move on.
Right.
I'm going to release it to God.
Yes. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us this day, you know.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, literally, as we forgive those who've sinned against us.
That's in the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of that onion I found in my refrigerator. Because what happened is, it started out a normal size onion, but I totally had forgotten about it. It was down kind of under something. And when I found it, it had been there so long that it exploded in a way. Do you know what I'm saying? And it kind of swelled up and got stinky and ugly and a really nasty color. And, of course, was not good for anything but the trash. And so that's what resentments and bitterness do to us. We have got to play this song. Megan, I know you're going to love it. One of your favorite songs. One of mine, Jesus, Friend of Sinners by Casting Crowns.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A pink-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines and loved like you did? Oh, Jesus, of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
You are good, and your love endures forever. You are good. You are good, and your love endures forever.
Wow, those are such powerful words. Nobody knows what we're for, just against, when we judge the wounded. There's amazing lines in that song.
And
that's Jesus, friend of sinners. Let our hearts be led by mercy.
When I was thinking about it after church, I was thinking about it's courageous for Casting Crowns, the group who did this song, to sing this song, because I was thinking back to, especially maybe this last two elections and such, so many groups were marginalized by Christians. They had fingers pointed at them. And I love what he says about, let's put down the signs, let's cross over, let's show love. Instead of, people don't know what we're for. They don't know we're for God. All they know is what we're against.
What we're against.
And, you know, Jesus and the apostles never did that.
No, they did not.
They didn't march around holding up signs saying, you know,
they were not political.
We're against this. We're against that. What they did was,
churches have become against this, against that.
Right.
That's for sure.
And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that I disagree with some of the things that some of the churches are against. I'm not going to say that. But that's not where the church needs to be.
Right.
The church needs to be out loving other people. You don't make people change.
Right.
By accusing them or by condemning them.
Right.
You don't make people change that way. You make them change, or you help them to change, by showing them God's love, by manifesting
Absolutely.
God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's
that's
healing
it.
To them.
That's it.
Because that's what people are going to respond to.
And that's what
to.
Jesus did, you know? We are a part of 10,000 Prayer Strong that was organized by Betty and Megan, the vision of Betty, up in Indiana. We're a part of that. Our church is. There's other churches. But this Wednesday night, we encourage our listening audience to pray between 6 and 7 this Wednesday night for our nation, for the issues going on in Washington right now, for our president and our Congress and our senators. Prayer for our leaders in our nation, for redemption, renewal, revival for our nation. 10,000 strong prayer. Go to our website and you'll see it right there on the homepage. And it's also on their website. And I think we have a link right there on our homepage to go to their website. Become a part of this coming Wednesday night, 3-13-13. And that's intentional, those numbers. And pray for our nation. Don't be yelling and screaming all the time against this, against that. Pray for our leaders that have been elected.
Exactly. And we're commanded to do that. I want to point that out. You know,
Paul
commands us to, you know, to pray for our leaders.
Right.
To pray for those in power. And I think it's just sometimes too easy to complain and, well, Satan got one in over God on this one.
Right.
You know, no.
Too easy to be judgmental.
The heart of the king is in the hand of
God.
That's
exactly right.
That's out of Proverbs. You know, nothing slipped past God in this last election. He's got in there who he wants.
For whatever reasons.
And we need to lift every person in government
up. We need to get on our knees.
And yes, exactly. I mean, I think, sorry, I'm preaching again.
No.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 7.
That's, in fact, that's the verse for 10,000 prayers strong is 2 Chronicles 7:14.
For 7:14. If my people, now, I just want to point out, it's talking about Christians here, and I'm not talking about just churchgoers. I'm talking about Bible-believing, born again, blood-washed, spirit-filled believers.
Whether you go to church
or
not. If
my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, not will get out on the picket line.
Right.
Will humble themselves and pray.
That's it.
And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And you think, what? The church has wicked ways? Yeah.
Oh, sure.
The church is full of wicked ways.
Judgment,
Chris. We all have sin.
Yes, yes.
And God says, then I'll hear.
Right.
But the church has to turn
and heal their land.
And heal their land. I'll hear. I'll heal their land.
Praise God.
But the church has got, I mean, there's that line in here. Let us remember God's mercy to drive us to our knees.
Yes, yes. Let our hearts be led by mercy.
Mercy. We have to remember it's God's mercy that brings us to our knees,
Bethesda.
That brings us to repentance.
Yes, it is.
And it's that mercy that we need to manifest.
Amen.
In prayer. In believing, and just in our daily lives.
Amen. We kicked off a week of prayer, a Beacon of Hope today. This starting today, ending next Sunday. Week of prayer, especially Wednesday night, 6 to 7 for 10,000 prayers strong. But all week long, in repentance, in renewal, saying, God, show me what's going on in the inside of me that's keeping me from the best that you have for me.
And I know there's people out there saying, I don't want God to be looking inside my heart. Or I don't want God to show me what's in my heart. I'd rather have God show me than somebody else point it out to me.
Right.
Because he already knows what's in there. And, you know, as, and I have to quote out of Psalm 139 from the King James Version, he knows our down sitting and our uprising. You know, he knows before there's even a word on our, in our, on our tongue, he knows it already.
Search me, O God, and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path everlasting.
God,
the words of David.
Yeah, God wants to do that.
Yes,
he's not sitting up there thinking, okay, the minute you find out you're this rotten, I'm going to smack you upside the head.
It's not like that.
He might knock you off your donkey, like he did Paul.
Yeah, right.
But he's not going to smack you upside the head.
There you go.
He's going to do it in such a way to get you saved.
Amen.
To get you into relationship with him. That's the most important thing.
And he is a friend of sinners. This is why, I mean, I listened to this on, I've listened to this song many, many times, but I've listened to it this morning on the way to church. And it was on the way to church this morning that I felt like God said, use this today. This is the song for today. And today is March 10th of 2013. Nan, what does that do to you? What happens when you hear this? As far as Jesus, friend of sinners, because you grew up, and well, all three of us grew up in church. Me as a preacher's kid, missionary's kid, you in ministry in church growing up, you didn't see a lot of mercy, did you? Didn't you see a lot of judgment?
Yeah, we always, the saying was back then, the church is the best at shooting their wounded.
Exactly.
You know.
Oh, yes.
And I can remember something that was also said back there. We spend so much time, we spend sometimes about doing the don'ts and we don't have time to learn the do's or something like that.
The do's.
Thank you. Help me, Pastor.
Well, we talk so much about the don'ts, we don't have time to do the do's.
There you go. You know, and we didn't, you know, a lot of times we didn't hear all the goodness of the Lord and the things can happen because we're so busy being put, you know, being told what not to do. You know, we're told what not to do. You don't have time to do the do's because they weren't really taught that much. You know?
It was about rules and regulations.
It was rules and regulations.
No, in the church I grew up in, I mean, it was don't dance, don't
play
cards.
We couldn't do that.
don't chew tobacco.
Ooh, yeah.
But I wouldn't have done that.
We wouldn't want to done that.
don't chew and don't go with those who do. Mm-hmm. It was something like that, wasn't it? I don't know how'd that go.
I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do.
Okay, there you go. All righty. Okay. But it was majoring on the don'ts. That's exactly right. A great point, Nan.
Well, and yeah, the church I grew up in was one of the more liberal, larger denominations. So we didn't quite have all those do's and don'ts, although we had people in the church that freaked the first time we wanted to have a dance in the fellowship hall. I do remember that. But still, I mean, that's, in a sense, having the no rules, being a more liberal church, we never heard about Jesus, really. I mean, we heard these stories, but he was never presented as the living...
The living Jesus, which is our theme. The living Jesus. That didn't happen, did it?
No, because... Well, and I think I've told you, I think I maybe even mentioned it on radio before. In youth group, I must have been sophomore, maybe a junior in high school, and we had a really, really liberal pastor at that time, who... We all listened. That's when Jesus Christ Superstar, not the movie.
Yeah.
This was before the movie. This was the actual original recording. We all sat around that, and that was our Sunday night youth group thing. We sat around and listened to Jesus Christ Superstar. And what an indictment, because the pastor says, "What's missing?" We listened to the whole thing and he says, "What's missing?" None of us got that there's no resurrection in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, wow.
They leave him in the tomb.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
But none of us got that because Easter came but once a year. And we just, you know, and it wasn't, it was never really preached that Jesus is alive.
Wow.
And I remember after I got saved, the first holiday after I got saved was Christmas.
Wow.
The next one was Easter.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, all of a sudden... The birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus meant, it's like, oh, I get it.
He's the living Jesus.
It. Yeah.
And if he's the living Jesus, he can help us overcome these resentments, this unforgiveness, and the finger pointing and the things we do that are not pleasing to him. You know, I'm going to follow what the leading of the Holy Spirit's doing right here, Cedric. On that CD that I gave you, just that Casting Crown CD, go to song number 2. It is A City on a Hill. And listen carefully to these words. It fits perfectly right here.
Did you hear of the city on the hill? Said one old man to the other. It once shined bright and it would be shining still. But they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak, and the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. The city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, but they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. Then one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. The city on the hill. And the world is searching still. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old.
was the story of the poor man that needed to be told. That gives the poet's life. It is the spirit of the poets that gives a soldier strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story of the poor man that's needing to be told. One by one will we run away with our made-up minds to leave it all behind. As the light begins to fade in the city on the hill, one by one will we run away with our made-up minds to leave it all behind. As the light begins to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Father's calling still. Come home to the city on the hill. Come home.
We run away with our made-up minds and the Father's calling still. Come back to the city on the hill.
Wow. That song is so
what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's and it, that one really hits home to me for people in church. I mean, I'm listening to the song and I think of the people for whatever reason that aren't with us anymore. And
come home.
You know, it don't matter squat what happened.
It just doesn't
in the eternal scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
God, we run away with our minds made up.
Right. We get those preconceived notions.
Right.
And we run with it. And I love what the song says. People just got upset because my ministry isn't your ministry and your ministry isn't as good as my ministry. Or I think your ministry is better than mine, so I'm going to sneak off and go away. You know.
Jealousy.
Just stupid mm-hmm. things. Really silly things. Either we're jealous of somebody else's or we think somebody else is jealous of us or what. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It takes courage to forgive. It takes courage to make amends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It takes courage to be willing to say, I forgive. And I mean it. I let it go. And you don't owe me anymore.
Right.
And I tell you, as a pastor, and you and I both, Pastor Jim, as leaders of this church, we know we have been hurt many, many times by people. But we have to do the bigger thing and forgive and let go and say, come back into the fold. Come home.
Right.
The Father says, come home to the city on the hill.
And we have to make sure that, like in Matthew chapter 7, and it's all a matter of perspective. You ever had something in your eye? It feels like there's a big old plank in your eye.
Yeah.
And yet and yet we're walking around these big old planks, knocking things around, breaking windows, whatever. And we're trying to take the little speck out of a brother's eye. I mean, we all, and I think this is really good.
This is the message
what Jesus
for today.
Says,
it's it.
Is we all have planks in our eyes.
Yes, we do.
We all have specks in our eyes. Just when it's in our eye, it feels like a plank. And Jesus said, take care of that first, then you can go work on other people. So for all of us everywhere, us here at the radio station, everybody at Beacon, everybody listening on the radio, God's calling us to look, to examine ourselves first, because he doesn't want us walking.
This is life-changing.
Yeah, he doesn't want us to walk out with planks in our eyes and then go to those people. If God leads, you know, as God leads, not if, but as, because God calls us to reconcile.
Right.
He calls us to reconcile. We don't have any excuse not to reconcile.
You're exactly right.
You know,
No, there's no excuse
not to forgive. There's no excuse not to be reconciled. Jesus says, if your brother has something against you, he says it earlier here in Matthew, if your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled and then come offer your gift.
This is life-changing. This is the living Jesus working in our lives. You have a comment to that, Nan? Okay. You know what? We're just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Go to song one on that same track. It's courageous. And we have got to be courageous to do the right thing. And this is not the way the show was. Of course, we don't even plan the show. But this isn't the music that was planned for this show. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. PJ.
Well, I was going to say, and didn't Nan say at the very beginning of the show where she went, whoosh, you know, it's like, yeah, we know we're headed off in completely different direction.
I knew. It's just the anointing of God is so strong. Those of you out there, you will find this show on our website by tomorrow evening, usually by Tuesday at the latest. Go back and listen to the show and get these songs down on the inside of you. Courageous by Casting Crowns. Listen to these words.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away.
Stand is on our knees with lifted hands. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. God is calling us to pray for our nation, our families, our churches, people that have walked away from us out of resentment, unforgiveness, whatever the case may be. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees. How do you stand on your knees? With lifted hands in prayer.
In prayer and praise.
Yes, we have got to be a people of courage. We cannot any longer just sit down and let the devil play mind games on us and relationship games and put resentments and bitterness. Nan, talk to me about this because I'm fired up about this.
I can see
we
that.
Have got to be a people that's courageous enough to say, I am sorry I hurt you.
It takes a lot to do that, but the rewards of that are great. You know, whoa. And Satan would try to come against us and say, well, why should you forgive them? Why should they forgive? You know, what's this forgiveness? They don't worry about it. But like we said before, unforgiveness can eat you up. You need
exactly.
to be courageous. You need to move forward. We need to move forward
right.
as we need to do spiritually. Just move forward.
Right. Amen.
I was almost in tears during that song. I mean, it's just such that line that you quoted, Pastor. It's like, yeah, I need to do more of that. I mean, God told me you need to do more of that. And I know I do. And I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody does. But I mean, when God, again, kind of gets you by the shoulders and says, okay, listen up, this is right. what you need to do. It's an amazing thing. But I think I do believe if we would do this, we'd see. We will see the fruit of it in
absolutely.
Our own, in our own individual lives, in the lives of our families, our spouses, our children. We'll see it we'll see a fruit of it in the nation.
Amen. That's why we got to do this 10,000 prayer mm-hmm. strong this week, and it's got to be a week where we say, God, show me the areas of my life that I need to confess a sin. Show me the worry. Show me the doubt. Show me the unforgiveness. Show me the areas where I've hurt someone. And if I need to go and make amends, then tell me what to do. That song, Cedric, we were going to play, track six, Come Holy Spirit, put it on. Let's play part of it, and then I'll tell you when to kind of take it down a little bit, and I'm going to talk over it. But people, listen, it's the Holy Spirit at work in this show today. It is a mighty, mighty move of God's Holy Spirit that has happened here today. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
His glory to see.
Woo.
Rain down
from heaven. Fresh living water.
Fresh living water.
Woo.
Bring us your liberty.
If you know it, sing it with him.
Sing it over the body of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your people. Trust Jesus, His glory to see, and rain down from heaven.
Oh God, rain down from heaven. Fresh living water on your people this day, God. Bring us your liberty, Lord. We are set free when we forgive, when we let go of resentments and bitterness. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Move in your people right now, Lord God, across the airwaves. On our website as this show is listened to through the next few years. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring us, draw us to Jesus. Your glory, God, your presence. Rain down from heaven. We pray for our listeners, Lord. Let this moment be a turning point, a drive a stake in the ground moment. A moment when they say, I let go of those that have hurt me and offended me. and I move into God's fullness for me. Oh, one more time. One more time.
Holy Spirit.
Oh, amen. Draw us, Holy God. Praise Jesus. Let this moment be a deciding moment for you. Receive the fresh living water that He has for you this day. If we can help you, contact us. Pastor Jim at BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, or mine is just Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. We can talk with you. We can counsel you. If you have a prayer request, send it to prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Catch this show again, probably sometime tomorrow, on our website. Maxine is really good about getting them up there very quickly. Go back and listen to all these songs and what God was doing today in the show. It's a life changer. This one is a life changer. Pastor Jim, God is wanting to heal the land, and this is prayer week, and what a great, great show to start and kick off prayer week.
Amen. Amen. We got some praying to do.
We got a lot to do. It's going to be a concentrated effort on a daily basis, especially Wednesday night between 6 and 7 around the nation. Prayer for the nation. Go to our website, the homepage, and go down to 10,000 Prayer Strong. Go to the website there and tell them that you're praying during that time or however long. At Beacon of Hope, it's going to be 6 to 8 Wednesday night. Come and join us if you're in Tampa Bay area. We are currently meeting in the executive inn, 3580 Almerton Road, until we find our new digs. Nan, it's been joy to have you on. Did you enjoy it today?
I enjoyed it today.
It's great. God's moving in hearts, right?
He's definitely
we got some work to do this week. It's got a lot to do in prayer and believe in God. And it's not far to Jesus. He's the living Jesus. He's right here.
He's right here.
He's right here. We welcome you Wednesday night. If you want to come in concentrated prayer for 2 hours, 6 to 8, at the Executive Inn with us in the golf room, you are welcome. Otherwise, pray where you are. And join 10,000 Prayer Strong this Wednesday night, 6 to 8. 6 to 7 for 10,000 Prayer Strong, but we're doing it 6 to 8. And make this your week of prayer and dedication. And know that God loves you so very much. It's not far to Jesus. And we welcome you to our service. Why don't you just join us if you're in the Tampa Bay area next Sunday morning at 10:30. And we provide coffee. How about that? Coffee. Here we go. God bless you. Have a great week. You can contact us, Pastor Jim at BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. A question, a prayer, concern, counsel, write him. Me, Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. A prayer request, a praise report. We've had people healed this week. Amazing things have happened. Send your requests and your praise reports to prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Until next week, it's been Nan, it's been PJ, Pastor Jim, and Pastor Marcia saying, God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week live. Amen.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.